KMOX. Happy Wednesday to everybody. 1 hour show today because the Cardinals are playing at 3:07, so we'll take it up to 2, then the pregame. Tomorrow, similar, we do 1 to 3 because it's a makeup game that's like 4:15, something like that, Wheels, right?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
It's a really weird, obviously that's why they're doing the happy hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's an odd time and right. What the heck?
And don't forget, tomorrow is happy hour all day at the game.
Yeah.
$5 hot dogs, $5 beers.
Oh.
They should do that more often. Just like a, just a because.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe they will now that they've had this opportunity to see how it goes.
Yeah.
If it goes well, I'm sure you'll do it. They'll do it again.
We have a celebration in the Dave Glover Show family. Paul Charsley, who's been listening to the show for a long time, and he posts on the stream a lot. He and a couple of buddies have a Formula One podcast called Park for May, and they just did their 1,000th show. That's a really big deal.
That's quite an accomplishment.
It really is. I remember having a big party at Hard Rock for my 100th show. I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Paul and his partners. That's nice. Really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment. I have an important safety announcement.
Oh?
Something I learned last night.
Okay.
If you're facing off with a bear.
Yes.
Don't let the bear take you down on your back because their instinct is to go right for your face and bite it off.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're just like offering your face up on a platter at
yes.
that point.
Yes.
All, yeah. All the instructional videos. I don't know why I said that. Say to like cover your head and just not move.
This guy, and who knows this guy, but he said, lay flat down on your face, spread your legs, spread your arms, and just kind of hope for the best.
Just don't move.
Then I guess when bears fight each other, they bite each other's face.
Yeah.
And so they think of us more as bears
okay.
than like deer.
It makes sense because
makes sense.
When they get mad, they stand up on two legs. We're on two legs, so maybe that is...
Yeah.
So by going face down, we're appealing to their honor as a bear. Like,
so.
You wouldn't attack me while my back is turned.
I think it's more a submissive move. Like, I give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll try to remember that if I'm
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
I think I'm
also,
be,
just don't get attacked by a bear.
Right. Like, I think maybe, like, the stage of being terrified. I might not remember this advice in the moment.
You'd be like, what did he say? What did he say?
I feel like he said to rub honey on my face.
Yeah. He said, show the face.
Yeah.
Let's start with the little Cardinals.
No.
Wheels, you had me going last night.
Oh, you did?
Yes. For the first time, it's not like I, you know, worship Ali Marmol or something. I think he's a really good manager.
Yeah, I do too.
Very happy with him. I respect how he goes on Gas House and he takes all the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
But he said something yesterday, which you guys talked about on Rush Hour. And I texted you before you started talking, just so you know. I wasn't like just
oh, no, I saw the timestamp.
But when Ali basically said to the guys yesterday, well, name a player who is not, how did he phrase it?
Who's, I guess, I think the term, I think it was underachieving. Yeah, yeah.
And so Bernie, being Bernie, went through the entire, you know,
position
lineup.
Position by position, yeah, yeah.
And Ali basically said, like, nope, you're wrong. Because, for example, Church is playing right where he, you know, needs to be, and he is not underperforming for him. And I was like, is that really the standard? And I just, like, analogized it to our business. If you had a talk show host who had terrible ratings and no live endorsements and didn't get along with people, would you say, well, he's not underachieving for him?
Right.
Parentheses, because he's not that good, our expectations are pretty low. Or would you say, hey, if you're a professional, if you're in the big leagues, whether it's radio or you're an attorney or you're an accountant or you're a baseball player, shouldn't you be judged based on what a center fielder in Major League Baseball should be doing?
No, I think there's two parts to this that are true. To have real expectations, you have to have some track record. Well, Church just basically has no track record, which I think is what he's trying to say. Like, hey, he's a rookie. We don't know what he is. So if you're saying he's underperforming, based on what? Based on minor league numbers? So I think there's a point in there that he's trying to make. I don't think he did it extremely clearly, because I would also take the larger point here that, okay, let's take Nathan Church out of it. Mason Wynn's underachieving as a hitter, not as a defender. As a defender, he's the best there is, but he's underachieving. In 2024, he was significantly better offensively than he is right now. Last year, he was better offensively than he is right now. So that's two full major league seasons where he was better than what he is right now. That's underachieving. Ivan Herrera is almost 100 points of OPS worse this year than he was last year. He's underachieving. He just is. It's not that he's trying to, and by the end of the year,
right,
they might be where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's why you play the whole 162, because by the end of the year, maybe Herrera is at that level. Maybe Wynn is where you want him to be. Maybe Church is. But we're looking at it today, you know, 10 days before the trade deadline, 12 days before the trade deadline, whatever it is. And, you know, the team is trying to pick out a path that they're going to follow. We're trying to understand and play along. And we're watching a team that's lost four games in a row, five of the last six. Lost, what, 18 of the last 28 or 18 of the last 29. They've been struggling. And when you're assessing the team at the moment, I could flip this around and say, okay, who's actually meeting expectations offensively? And I'd say Alec Burleson is definitely doing that. He's absolutely that. Jordan Walker's exceeding everything, so he's that. J.J. Weatherholt is exceeding what you would have expected from a rookie. Or at the put it this way, if you're being super aggressive, you could say he's as expected. But I think he's probably even a little better than expected. So you got three guys for sure that are meeting or exceeding expectations. I'd probably throw Fermin in that too. I think Fermin's been pretty solid for what you would expect from a utility player, right? Mm-hmm. So again, grading on the curve of what you are. But Nolan Gorman certainly underachieved to the point that he's back in Memphis hitting .137 down there. Thomas Ajayi's in Memphis. No chance coming back here soon because he's been awful. Victor Scott. I mean, if you're going to argue that you expected Scott, Gorman, Ajayi, Pajes, all these guys to be what their numbers have been, then why were they even in the big leagues on opening day if you expected them to be so bad they'd have to get demoted? And I don't think they did. I think their internal projections were all higher on all of those guys, just like the external projections were higher. Hence, they're underachieving.
That's why I look at it.
Yeah, I think there's a valid point in there that Ollie's trying to make, which is simple. Like if he would have made this point, I don't think we even have the segment we did yesterday, Matt and I, on Rush Hour. Is if the point is, hey, it's a largely young and unproven team, and this is what that looks like. I agree. It is. This is what that looks like when you have a lot of guys that are unknowns. Jimmy Crooks is an unknown at the major league level. Nathan Church is an unknown at the major league level. You know, Newt's only been back for 37 games. Some of those, you know, half of that's been really good. Half of it's been really bad. But on the whole, probably not too far off of what you would think Newt would be coming off an injury. But I think that's kind of the problem, is the message got off track a little bit from what the real message is, which, or at least the true message is to me. This is what uncertainty looks like. When you have a team that's full of people with proven track records, it doesn't look like this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we knew that this season was going to be a little odd before the year, right? I mean, we all talked about the offseason continuing the rebuild. Can they hang in there? Will they fall apart? We don't know. The whole point has been we don't know from day one of this team. They got off to a really good start in the first half. That got us excited. It was encouraging, and maybe they will finish strong and stay. But at the moment, you're flagging as you're getting to decision time at the trade deadline, and this is what it looks like when you don't have players with consistent proven track records.
Yeah.
And then also, when you've got a couple of really key core players, and to me, Herrera and Wynn are the big ones, that are not giving you what you need from them offensively. You need Ivan Herrera to be good, not just adequate, not just average. You need him to be good. You need his power, and he's not giving it to you. He's trying. This is not an indictment of the player. He's trying. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
But those things are separate, right? The recognition of the work that goes into it and the effort that goes into it is separate from the outcome. The outcome is what you're judged on. And because the outcome is what you're paid by. the end of the year, at the end of each year, or when you're coming up on contracts, you're going to get paid based on the outcomes of what you do and not based on how hard you try. Right?
Yeah.
So it was, I think it just got mixed up a little bit there. And I thought the idea that was put forth, which is like, who's underachieving? Well, a lot of people. A lot of people, if we're counting the whole season, it's probably 8 or 9 guys that have radically underachieved. And it doesn't mean it's unexpected, which is the separate topic, right? I think those got bled together yesterday as opposed to being treated separately.
I gotcha.
So, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that anybody with the Cardinals thought that Ivan Herrera would drop off by 100 points of OPS this year.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe that anybody in the front office or on the coaching staff thought Mason Wynn would be worse offensively this year than he was last year, which was worse than the year before that. I mean, these are the guys you're counting on. You're counting on Herrera. You're counting on Wynn. Because those guys do have major league track records, which is different from Nathan Church or Blaise Jordan. Those guys are going to be more unknowns because they don't have the time in the big leagues. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was a great segment on Gas House Gang. I thought it was a great back and forth there. I thought there's a lot to pull apart within that, too, like we did on Rush Hour last night.
My text to you is probably the best treatment of it, though. I mean,
what you said wasn't wrong.
You probably could have just read it and just not even discussed it.
What you said wasn't wrong. The point is that it's hard for, and this is where I try to make these points. Not based on how it hits me or on how it hits us sports guys or whatever. When I'm a fan and I hear somebody with a team saying nobody's underperforming or who's underperforming as if it's a challenge, well, as a fan, I can list all those guys. Why are you telling me they're not underperforming? Fans don't want to hear that. They would rather just hear, hey, look, man, this is what it looks like when you got a lot of young, inexperienced players.
Welcome back, DGS 122. Going to take you to 2 p.m. And the Cardinals pregame will take over about 2:07 today. A mime was arrested for harassing people on a trail. Police in Massachusetts. A mime.
Mm-hmm.
Police in Massachusetts arrested a mime who was hanging around and bothering people on a walking trail. He's facing 3 counts of criminal harassment. This is my favorite line. He was dressed as a mime, acting suspiciously. I would think being dressed as a mime would be...
I mean, if you saw someone on a walking trail approaching you dressed like a mime, are you okay with that?
Well, we went through this with Mark Close, remember?
Do you remember the clowns?
Do you remember the names of the clowns?
Oh, are you talking about the people that were, like, pretending to be murder clowns?
Yeah, but then there was a couple.
It was like JoJo.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's exactly right. You have a great memory. And I think it was Mark who was defending the clowns and said... So we just live in a society where a clown can't go take a walk in the woods?
Yes. Yeah. We live in a place where you can't do that. I agree.
I think anything a mime does counts as harassment.
It's kind of what they do.
Yeah, unless you approach them, right?
I think if you are acting in your official capacity as a mime, what you're doing is harassment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say unless
if you don't want to be a harasser, talk to me.
Unless you approach the mime... then they should leave you alone.
Even then, if I am approaching a mime, the only thing I'm saying to him is stop being a mime.
No, I'm talking about if you go to the mime, it's like, oh, there's a mime. I'm going to go watch that person and sit next to them.
Oh, there's a mime. I'm going to go smack him.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that. Don't dress up like that and just walk on the trail and like, that's a good way to get hit, man. That's a good way to get hurt. Scare people like that.
Well, hey, if you don't want to get smacked, say, I don't want to get smacked. Yeah. Oh, nope. Okay, well,
I can't. I'm a mime.
Here it comes.
Well, it's also alleged that he stripped down to his underwear, slathered cooking oil all over his body, and began working out.
See, this is relevant information.
Yeah, that's an escalation.
He also repeatedly refused to leave the park when asked to do so.
Yeah.
So he was doing more than miming.
So again, this is not just him miming. Although I got to tell you, just doing the mime thing, like, seriously, if you're just like walking down a path and somebody's like coming up to you and miming... I think that is fair game.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want either thing to happen, but if I'm walking alone in the woods, I might rather see a guy working out oiled up than a mime.
What if it's a mime oiled up and working out?
I don't think that works. You rub all the makeup off.
Oh, well, I mean, this guy did it.
It seems like this person mimes all of the time. Like, he paints his face white and is just in mime mode.
That's a great name for a band.
I'm looking mime at a picture mime. Of him mime here. Mime. He's sitting at, looks like, a coffee shop. And he's
a mime.
Yeah, he's yeah. Got his
is
mime
he actually drinking
on.
Coffee or is he just
he appears pretending? To be filling out a document. I'm not sure
appears
what's going
to be,
on.
Though.
Yeah.
He's not actually.
Right. He's probably not actually pressing the ink to the paper.
Yeah, maybe
I'd
don't.
Love a coffee, but I'm in this box.
Yeah.
Can you get out?
An empty cup and I'll just pretend to drink?
Maybe don't do that.
Paying cash without pennies is causing problems because rounding has businesses charging different prices to different people.
Mm.
So Congress is going to change that by legalizing rounding so that they'll tell you what you can round and what you can't.
Hmm.
It's always something.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't think I'm ever going to be worried about a couple pennies.
Well, wouldn't it be like 2 cents and under, right. Round down?
Yeah, right.
Three cents
and up
over.
You go. Yes, yeah. Yes. Seems
simple.
Pretty basic, right? Isn't that the basic thing we learned about rounding in grade school
Do
math?
Do we really need to get Congress involved?
That's my point. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. Don't give me any change, but just like, seriously now, Congress is getting involved?
Yeah.
We called it. Tom Brady is having talks with WWE about a possible match with Logan Paul.
Why?
I don't understand. Other than he's human, you know, like I guess we don't think of these people as human because he's Tom Brady and he's tall and he's handsome and he's got a gazillion dollars. Like, why would you ever do this? But maybe he's a giant dork.
Have you seen Tom Brady? What's he going to be doing in a wrestling ring? He's a quarterback. He's just a normal dude. He's going to be wrestling somebody who's an actual, you know, big person. Like, what's the entertainment value in that?
So they were flipping each other off at the World
yeah.
Cup final.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they're joking around.
No, they are
but...
building. No, they're building to this on purpose.
Yeah,
this is all a bit.
He's
all a bit. Yeah.
Paul.
It's all a thirsty
Tom,
bit.
Why don't you spend some time with your kids, man?
Yeah. Or
sorry.
You know,
sorry to be the one to say it, but
I don't know. I mean, like, or maybe I don't know if you're going to do the wrestling thing or do the MMA thing, then train to be it or something. Don't just be like, well, I'm going to do this half-assed thing because even though, look, come on, real world, who's Tom Brady fighting and winning? Except maybe some other quarterbacks.
Maybe the mime. And KMOX 134. Rach, one of your stories is I went to Kohl's.
I went to Kohl's. I actually went.
Was everything on sale?
You know, not that much was on sale today.
Really?
Yeah. This was the first time I'd been to Kohl's in quite a few years. I was at the thrift and there was a Kohl's down the street. I said, I'll check it out because I'm going on vacation next week.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a new pair of flip-flops is not a necessity, but if I could find a pair within a reasonable price range, that would make me very happy. Seems like something Kohl's might have.
Could make you a good deal on my old Birkenstocks.
Oh?
Let me think about it.
Okay.
Go into Kohl's. First of all, Kohl's is huge nowadays.
Huh.
The one in Alton, which was like my normal Kohl's when I was a regular Kohl's shopper, it's like a normal size.
Yeah.
The one in Crestwood, it's got like 5 entrances or something. I said, I can't lose my car in the parking lot. Then I go in. You know, they have all their stuff. They have a million different departments. Took me a very long time to find the shoes because it's such a big store.
Right.
Find some flip-flops. It's hard to tell what price they are because it doesn't say on the tag, but then it shows the prices of like all of the sandals on that end cap. So mm-hmm. I said, hey, as long as this falls within that price, I'll buy it. So I get it. I take it to the front. Get to the Kohl's self-checkout.
Yeah. I'm
no,
a fan.
No. No, no, no.
Why not?
I don't understand why it was self-checkout. You needed a associate to type in their code for you to scan the thing.
That's not self-checkout.
That's not what happened when I did it.
Oh, dude, at this one, Maybe I shouldn't have doxed to which location it was. But it was like one guy working the whole thing.
Oh,
and
no.
He was working very hard. He was doing a very good job. But it was like the machine wasn't working very well. And you have to keep typing in the code. And it's like not scanning. And he's like, oh, it needs a dummy SKU. Do you know what it said? And I'm like, no, I don't work at Kohl's. So I don't know what that means. We finally figure it out. I get the sandals that are the price I wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Only paid $11 after tax. Yeah, I felt good about that. As I'm leaving, I said, whew, first Kohl's experience in a while. Then I get to the parking lot. I see who I'm like, I'm above 50%, but I'm not at a large enough percentage to actually say hi because I think I see KMOX news anchor Brad Choate.
Oh.
But he's got sunglasses on.
Did he have a gaggle of women around him?
No. So that makes me think maybe not Brad.
It wasn't him.
Yeah. But he had sunglasses on. And I'm like, I'm not 100% sure. So I'm not going to say anything. So Brad, if you're listening and it was you.
Hi.
What's up, man? Good seeing you at the Kohl's parking lot.
Did he seem to recognize you as well?
Not really. Like it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
We could have both just been feeling not certain.
Right.
Because we were both wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
How close were you to this person?
4 feet away.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like across the parking
lot. No, no.
You thought you espied a friend.
No, no, no. But I have been wrong before. I have been like, what's up? And it's not the person who I thought it was. That is a very humiliating experience. So I try to avoid that whenever possible.
Once bitten, twice shy. You make that mistake, you're not making it again. I feel the same way.
You know what I also do way too frequently?
Huh.
Someone will be talking to someone else.
Yeah.
And I will answer.
Yes.
And then I immediately realize they were not talking to me. And the amount of shame I feel is
that's
like.
That's worse.
Oh, it's.
I'll be honest.
I just want to die.
That happens a lot with the people that are talking on their phones in public spaces.
Yes.
So stop doing that.
That's usually what it is.
Stay in your car when you're talking on the phone.
It's like a Bluetooth situation.
Yeah. They're just walking around and you're near me and you say, oh, hey, what's up? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. What's up? What am I supposed to do? Ignore you?
Right.
I don't know if you're talking to me or not.
I make those situations so much worse. And it's only like it happened to me maybe a dozen times my whole life. But I remember one time in particular, I was at a bar waiting for a friend. And there was this woman 20 feet away. And I thought she was looking right at me.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, my God. Hey. And I have no idea who she is, but in the business, right? Like you meet people and maybe,
maybe
you don't remember.
Yeah.
And I always want to leave people feeling special. So of course, rather than just going like, oh, I'm sorry, me. I did a big like, oh my God. I can't. Yeah. And then the guy walked past me toward her and hugged her. That's awful.
Just makes you want to disappear.
I also talked to a guy at a urinal I was peeing next to because he had his earbud in and he just started midstream talking and I just didn't have the time to do the math and I just, you know.
Well, but again, that's not your fault.
Start answering him.
That's not your fault. First of all, don't talk on the phone in the bathroom. Don't do that.
Yeah, that is weird.
We have lost the thread when it comes to like common sense. Like if you're going to have a full ass conversation, stay like in a place where it's just you by yourself instead of bringing all the rest of us into it.
Man, just because you're not the one in the wrong, though, doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
It hurts.
It hurts so bad.
What if you realize it and then you just keep on talking?
Yeah, make it weird for them.
Yes, exactly. I think that's how you do it.
Man, I like this urinal.
Hey, how's that nice phone call bathroom. Going, buddy? Yeah, all right.
Be like, hey, when you hang up, I got to tell you something.
Yeah. I'll meet you in the hall. I'll be out there waiting for you when you come out.
You like put your ear up to the earbud to try to,
and then you start, and then you start miming,
just start commenting on everything they're talking about.
Sir, a little rude for you to take a phone call while we're in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah, I thought we were, you know, talking here.
You said something to me and then immediately take a phone call.
Yeah.
Can we talk about political ads for a second? I know everyone hates political ads. I take them too seriously, like I do Trump. Like, as opposed to just going like, these are so stupid. I think about them. And two things. One, there's one of them out there right now that's in favor of Amendment 5, yes, and it's this older lady, and it's not the lady's fault. She's an actress, but that makes it even worse because she's so hateable. She's so dislikable. She talks like this. It's like they've got their hands in my pie. They're trying to get my piggy bank and blah, 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 blah. I don't understand it because she's so hateable. This is the person who you're, because you're not selling against her. She's selling what they want you to buy. I would rather lose my tax money than do what she's going to do. Does that make sense? Like, it's just such a bad, I don't know. And here's my existential question. The fact that we just keep doing this every couple of years and we never do anything different, does that mean necessarily that we are who these people think we are? We're this simple, we're this stupid, we're this easily manipulated. Is that true?
Must be, because if you keep doing it, and it keeps working. I mean, look, what the problem with most of them, and it's because we know it works, is it's always about making you afraid of something. Whether it's put that afraid or angry, but those two things are connected, right? Because anger is a fear reaction. So it's always that. And we're always being inundated with what we should be afraid of, scared of. You can't talk to us like adults. We can't just get the information and go, hey, this is the good side of this. This is the bad side of this. Make up your mind. Which one of the, you know, which way do you like this issue? We can't have rational conversations because it doesn't work. People ignore it. So they got to play to fear.
Yeah, and with the lady, I don't know this lady, but the emotions you're describing, I guarantee you there is someone listening at this very moment going like, why do they let Rachel talk? I hate her. No, how could anyone like her? And for each of us on the show, like it's really your personal preference as far as like what is extremely irritating. So there's probably a large swath of people who are like, I like that old lady. I assume she was old, by the way.
Only annoying old ladies. Like, only an annoying old lady would see an annoying old lady and be like, I'm digging what she's saying. Just saying.
So why do you think they casted this person in the commercial?
Because there are a lot of old ladies out there who they want their vote.
Well, and because, look, we know the demographics. People that are over a certain age vote more at a higher percentage than people under that age.
Yep.
And, you know, we're getting to that age. I mean, you know,
oh, I'm at that
yeah,
age.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
It should appeal to me.
Right, I know. But again, they know who votes, and that's why they target people that vote.
Yeah.
So if you're going to appeal to a part of the population that votes at a 38% rate versus an 80% rate, which one of those target audiences do you want?
Yeah. Rach, there's a new monkey in the jungle.
Oh. What's his deal?
He has orange lips and a human-like face. And he croaks very loudly like a frog.
So he's a frog.
Sounds made up, but it's not.
Sounds like it's just a frog.
We never found this cat before. There he is. Orange lips.
I thought you said it was a monkey. Yeah. Is that a frog, a monkey, or a cat? Come on now.
He is interesting looking.
Mm-hmm.
Colobus cogenesis. I'm probably saying it wrong. Huh. But that's what they're calling him.
Close enough.
My boy Colobus. Christopher Columbus.
You worked so hard to find something funny.
That was really good.
Shopping it.
Christopher Columbus. I think you got to try a couple.
I think you need to get one of those monkeys and name him Christopher, and that would be a best.
You never give up on the first try.
I respect it. I would have punched out immediately. I respect what you do.
Yeah.
I was telling Rach that after paying E. Jean Carroll the $5 million that he owed her from the court case and the Supreme Court telling him he had to, Donald Trump has filed an emergency injunction to force her to pay him back.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Is that the craziest Streisand effect you've ever... Like, dude, it's over. Like, it's over. It's adjudicated. It's over. You're lucky it was only $5 million. That's chump change to you. Stop bringing it up, because every time you do, we think of what you did to get there. But yeah, he's saying that it's fake and this injustice can't stand, so pay me the money back.
And people don't think there's something wrong with him?
Wouldn't you have to have another trial?
I mean,
I think it's just over now, right?
Yeah, once the Supreme Court
says, the Supreme Court ruled on
we're not going to take this up.
Yeah, that's it.
There's
it's
nowhere
over.
To go.
Right. It's over. Take the L, bro.
Yeah, move on. Baby monkey, backwards on a pig, baby monkey. The world has gone insane, and you don't know what is right. You got to keep on keeping on. Get on that pig and hold on tight. Baby monkey. Welcome back, DGSKMOX 151. We're out of here in just a few minutes. Pre-game is coming up just at the top of the hour, and then the game is 3:07. Does that sound right?
Yes.
3:07?
Yes.
Andrew, tell me about Appy Time.
Oh, that's when I get to peel and eat my appies. I love them.
Oh.
I've been really treasuring that the last...
I'm leaving early.
Last week or so.
I thought Appy Time would perhaps be appetizer time.
See, I thought it would be apps. Like, he likes to go home and play with his apps. none of us saw apples coming.
I like to go home and eat my apps. My appies. They're delicious.
He was cutting that apple weird yesterday.
He was cutting that apple like a serial killer.
Dude, he butchered it.
I had a plastic knife. I was doing my best. Trying not to get no core in there.
That's why you just gotta chomp into it at that point.
Yeah, Rachel's a chomper. I don't like the chomping. I like to have my little slices.
I'm not a chomper. Why would you say that?
That's
I ate an apple today that wasn't cut.
Me kind of weird too.
I cut it every day. I bring it in cut in baggies. Today I decided
Rachel's
not
chomper.
To take the
day. Big chomper.
Yeah, she's a chomper.
Well, I'm saying she has the courage to chomp into what I don't. I'm scared. I like to have my slices.
That's what he meant. He meant I was courageous.
What? Yes.
What do you think I meant?
But what happened to make all of the terms and language and all of this like we're five?
I don't think five-year-olds say chomper.
I think you thought about
grown,
Appy.
Grown people don't either.
Oh, well, it's Appy time, you know. It's when I get to, it's my treat. I love my treat.
See?
I get to eat my Appies. I don't see what we're struggling with here.
I, unlike you, am a grown man, and I prefer to call them yapples with a Y. Mm-hmm.
Oh no!
So
sure, yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. That's what beggars belief here. It's like finding the cigarettes under the bed, and you're like, "Where did you?" Yeah, and I'm like, "I learned it from you." Because you have, I think, a sense of whimsy and wonder in your
certainly.
Life.
It's about all I have.
And so you have the ability to comprehend the deliciousness. A yapple makes it taste better.
Unless you're a chomper.
Well, dude, there's nothing wrong with me. Being a chomper is not an insult.
Sure sounds like one.
It's
yeah,
just
it
mean.
Say it like it's
nice.
An insult, you chomper.
Yeah, Rachel's a chomper. She chomps.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'd rather cut up like a real person.
So let me just say, right before I said that, you said, I just chomp into it.
That's not what I said. You could pull the tank.
Oh,
tape.
I'm pulling
I said,
it.
You gotta just chomp into it at that point rather than cutting it with a plastic knife that is so ineffective. Like, just take a bite.
And that sentence got you the lifelong moniker of chomper.
So can let the yeah. So let the court show the word chomp was not introduced into the file by moi.
Do you know? Do you really not see why? Like I at the end of the day, I don't care. But you said Rachel's a chomper.
I failed to see the problem.
It's not because you can't just go like, oh, you're right. She actually does cut up an apple every day. And half the time I eat half of it.
Yeah. And I'm appreciative of that.
Yes. You're so appreciative. Clearly.
I think I have said thank you every time.
This is the first time I ate a whole apple in months. And he goes, she's a chomper. She chomps every day. Always chomping. It's like, no, that's not even accurate, though.
We need
this is the best.
We need to make the people on the stream like a jury. Because we do. We have these back and forth so often.
Thank you, Adriana.
Yes, the child is on your side, Andrew.
Thank you, Adriana.
The entire point that the rest of us are making.
I can't see it.
I'm not sure what you're on my side about, but I appreciate it. There's a few things you could be on my side about.
I clocked Rachel as a charmer.
I mean, I'm on your side for the Christopher Columbus monkey guy. I'm on that side.
Just want to grow up to be a chomping lady. Can't blame her.